right, thanks, Elena. So I'm going to jump right into it. My topic is going to be about health insurance and APIs, a disaggregated analysis and visualization of census data from 2010 to 2012. You're going to be seeing this slide a lot. So I have no personal financial relationships or commercial conflicts of interest in relation to this program or presentation. A quick overview of my presentation today. I think the first topic I'll talk about is who are the Asian American specifically underserved populations in the United States, some of the kind of characteristics of why this is an important population to study, especially in public health. The second topic is going to be about the importance of data segregation and some of the disparities that we're seeing in health insurance among AAPIs. And really the question I want to answer in this presentation is, what are the factors that are contributing to disparities in health insurance coverage amongst, you know, particularly why are certain AAPI ethnic groups performing better or worse in health insurance coverage? Some of the limitations of my abstract and model, and then provide, I think, in the last half, some implications that I see from my model in terms of the future of healthcare reform, especially since the second enrollment period has started since last Saturday. Particularly a little bit about the small business health options program in the marketplace that's opening up this year, the effect of immigration reform and its relationship on healthcare reform in the United States, as well as whether or not health insurance itself is enough, especially for this population. And I think really what I want to do is set the stage this morning for a lot of the presentation topics that some of my co-presenters will be talking about later in the session. So first of all, what I like to use is infographic from the White House Initiative on Asian American Specific Islanders, because it really highlights, I think, three key factors about this population that's really important. The first is that this is the, you might have heard, the fastest growing racial group in the United States. It grew about 43% from 2000 to 2010, and over the next sort of 40 years, it's about projected to grow about 134% more. So, in a situation where the United States is growing to be a majority-minority population, and AAPIs is a big population to study. And I think another really cool factor is that, when you look at from 2000-2010, what has traditionally been sort of coastal communities for AAPIs is now turning inland. You sort of see these emerging communities in areas where you might not have seen them before. And I think the really key factor I wanted to talk about today in this presentation is how diverse this population is. If you look at the six largest AAPI ethnic groups, Chinese, Filipino, Indian, Vietnamese, Korean, Japanese, it's actually very well distributed among the within the AAPI group. But what I really want to get across is that Asian is a really monolithic term. And if you look at the census data, that they take the Asian population, they divide it into 25 self-reported ethnic and racial categories. And then that's not even to include the different permutations of those categories as well, whether they're single race or mixed. So I think it's very safe to say what I really want to get across, especially when in terms of research, that this is a very diverse group. You have to include Native Hawaiians, Pacific Islanders, and Hapas, and it's really even though the Asian label is useful in terms of political advocacy, it's really important to sort of disaggregate based on where they still identify in terms of ethnicity. And sort of tying it to the importance of data segregation, especially health insurance coverage, if you look at the 2010 health insurance rates, the national coverage was about 16.3% for all Americans. If you divide, using the traditional kind of categories for minority groups, white, non-Hispanics do a little bit better, and then you have the minority groups, Asian, Black, Hispanic, are doing a little bit worse than the national coverage. But, knowing what we know about how diverse the Asian population is, I wanted to take that and sort of disaggregate further. So if you look at the six largest AAPI ethnic groups, again, Japanese, Filipino, Indian, Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean, it's really, really remarkable how different the rates of insurance are among these ethnic groups. Particularly if you look at Vietnamese and Korean Americans, one in five Vietnamese are uninsured, one in four are Korean. Not only incredibly higher rates of uninsurance against the national coverage, national sort of rate, but also within relative to other AAPI ethnic groups. So this is really the central question of what I wanted to get at in my paper and sort of in my presentation today, is what is the factor that are really contributing to this disparity in health insurance coverage within the AAPI population? So I did a multiple regression model. I used data from the 2010 and 2012 American Community Surveys. Again, I used a disaggregate based on these six largest ethnic groups. And I sampled by metropolitan statistical area. This is sort of a division used by the census, and it only uses geographical areas in which the population of AAPIs of one of these six groups is larger than 20,000. And the goal of this regression model is to identify the factors that are contributing to disparities in health insurance coverage among these six groups. A little background on what a metropolitan statistical area is. I think it's also interesting if you look at this map from the census about how kind of geographically diverse the AAPI population is. For example, the largest Japanese population is actually in Hawaii. If you look at, for example, the Asian Indian population, the largest population is in New York. So even within the United States, it's also geographic diversity. And I want to point out in the next few slides, every data point is pretty much a bar. you look at sort of the way that it's organized of a APA ethnic group in a certain geographical area. So jumping right into it, I'm going to provide a few slides, a few scatter plots of some of the, I think, statistically significant associations that I found between both socioeconomic and acculturated factors in terms of their relationship with health insurance among these six API groups. So first, a very classic socioeconomic factor, you know, median household income. Very clearly, you know, the more you go on the x-axis, the higher median household income, the less likely you are to be uninsured. Makes sense. If you look at another really important socioeconomic factor, especially in the United States, where we're primarily an employer-based health insurance system, the more you're on the right x-axis, the higher, the larger percentage of the community that's self-employed, the higher rate of uninsured. And you'll see, and this is because, you know, small business owners or self-employed are more likely to forego health insurance because they want to preserve their revenue or income stream. In terms of educational attainment, this is a little less of a significant association, but you still see, you know, as the higher percentage of those in that community that are higher educated, lower they're more likely they are to be insured. And then here we get into some of the acculturated factors I wanted to capture. You know, if you look at, for example, limited English proficiency, there's a very clear direct relationship. If your community is more limited English proficient, you have less rates of health insurance. You have higher rates of uninsured in that community. Similarly, I'm using, if you look at sort of, you want to capture integration, I use this proxy measure of native, percent of native born. So the community on the sort of X, farther on the X-axis means the larger percentage of that population that has been born in the United States, which is sort of a good, I think, proxy measure for, you know, whether or not this community is integrated or has been in the United States longer. And again, you sort of see, maybe they're not linear, but at least you see a very significant relationship in terms of that if they're they've been in the United States longer, they're less likely to be uninsured. So now that we know some of the variables that are sort of significant in terms of health insurance, what I do now is sort of qualitatively look at how we can disaggregate that data. Again, and the question I really want to answer is, why is it that Vietnamese and Koreans, Americans specifically, have much higher rates of uninsurance? So what I've done here is I've color-coded based on the ethnicity, and I think what I really want to show is that if you look at the Korean and Vietnamese, the yellow and red dots, I hope that's visible, you sort of see a very sort of fascinating kind of picture within the next few graphs. So here's, again, the median household income graph. Again, you see the Korean and Vietnamese communities are very much on the high on the y-axis, you know, high rates of uninsurance, and we know that, but a lot of it's because they're much lower on the left in terms of having lower median household incomes. If you look at the self-employment, I think that the disparity is a lot bigger. Again, very much on the right side, you have the Vietnamese and Korean communities, much higher rates of self-employed, small business owners, and that contributes a lot to why they're higher on the y-axis. Educational attainment, it's a little bit trickier to look at, but one thing I do want to point out is that if you look at the yellow circles, the Koreans, even though they're much high, have really high rates of high school graduation attainment rates, they're still very much high on the uninsurance axis. So, you know, again, it shows that this is maybe a weaker variable, that there has to be some other variable that attributes to why Korean Americans have high uninsurance rates. And, it's a weaker association. And this is the graph I like the most because it shows really what that disparity is and I think the biggest factor towards insurance. Because if you look at it, especially because it's color-coded, you see this really big divide between in the middle of these six groups. You know, you have Japanese, Filipino, Indian communities that actually have quite low rates of a limited English proficiency. They're actually learning, they're self-reporting English proficiency very highly. Whereas you see Chinese, Vietnamese, and Koreans have much higher percentages of reported, self-reported limited English proficiency. And again, it's interesting because each circle is a geographical area. And regardless of their geographic distribution, because of their ethnicity, you sort of see this kind of clustering in terms of ethnicity. So, sort of similarly in native born, but it's a little hard to see. But you can sort of see that Vietnamese and Korean communities are much lower percentage of native born. That means more higher percentage of them were foreign born. So I guess newer communities, less integrated in the United States. And so what does this model show? It shows that there's three very significant socioeconomic factors when you look at health insurance in the United States: household income, self-employment, low educational attainment. There are two, I think, acculture factors, the proxies for acculturation that I'm using that are also significant, which is limited English proficiency and percentage native born. But I think the really cool part, especially when you visualize it with the color coding, is that there's evidence of ethnic enclaving, where regardless of the geographic distribution, APIs of a similar ethnic group have similar levels of socioeconomic and acculturative factors, which may explain why there's this disparity in health insurance coverage relative to it within the group. And I do want to point out, ethnicity is only sort of a proxy that I'm using, in which I'm looking at, really, what I'm looking at is the socioeconomic factors and culture factors, where ethnicity is sort of, I guess, I would like to put as kind of a package in of itself. It's not very important. Limitations of the model, I'm only using data from 2010 to 2012, so this is pre-Affordable Care Act. Presumably, we hope that after the implementation of the ACA, we've seen some higher rates of insurance coverage among the API groups, but the question is whether or not that's the same distribution within the groups. Are all the API ethnic groups doing much better as a result of the ACA? And I'm going to provide some interesting perspectives in the end, and I'm sure my co-presenters will also produce some interesting discussion on that. I only analyzed the six largest Asian American ethnic groups because of, I guess, census data limitations. I didn't include the smaller groups, you know, Southeast Asian, a lot of refugee populations as well, or Pacific Islanders, or any mixed racial ethnic groups. And I had a very big sampling bias towards metropolitan areas. You know, this is not representative of rural areas or areas in which you have much smaller populations of APIs. So what are the implications for ACA year two? I think number one, for API small business will be key. This year, the Small Business Health Options Program Marketplace is opening, and what this does is it provides tax for eligible small businesses. It provides tax credits to the employer to help provide insurance for their employees. So this might be a huge sort of opportunity to address some of that self-employment issue within the Vietnamese and Korean communities. And I think Juan will be talking about that in her session right after mine. Number two is the issue of immigration eligibility. I think similar to all Asians are not the same, all immigrants are not the same, and there are very clear, I wouldn't say clear guidelines, but there's very clear sort of differences in which in eligibility among immigrant groups, depending on whether they're here lawfully or not. And what I really want to point out is, again, what this has done, and kind of what we see in the ACA year one, was that it's really important for enrollee verification. In August of this year, HHS sent out notices to about 300,000 families informing them that they had to provide extra documentation to verify their immigration eligibility in order to purchase their health insurance from the federal marketplace. And what happened was on September 30th, about 115,000 of those people weren't able to verify their eligibility and lost their health insurance coverage. But the problem is there's this lawsuit going on that the way HHS implemented those notices were probably not the smartest in terms of the populations they were trying to reach. They were only sending those notices in English or Spanish, which meant there's a disproportionate burden on those who did non-English speaking or non-Spanish speaking in terms of their providing the eligibility verification for their enrollment. So, important issue, especially when you go into ACA year two. And then the third issue I want to raise is sort of, does health insurance actually improve health? You know, in and of itself, health insurance coverage is not really important. It's whether or not those who are covered are actually, because of their health insurance, accessing preventative services or necessary health service as a result. So questions I think are important is the importance of patient navigation. Do enrolled APIs understand how health insurance works? Do they understand they have to pay premiums? They have to, reach a certain deductible, pay copays every time they go to the doctor? Do enrolled APIs understand how provider networks work, what the difference in cost and rates between out-of-network and in-network care? On the provider side, do provider networks actually have enough in-language or culturally competent providers to provide that sort of care, regardless of whether or not they're covered by health insurance? And, are APIs accessing preventive services? I work in hepatitis. Hepatitis B is a huge issue in terms of this community, it's very sad because we have a vaccine, we have, the screening tools, but the population is not really accessing it. And I think I'll leave this to Annalyn and actually Noylan to talk about in their sessions later today when they talk about their patient navigation program. So I want to end my presentation on one note, which is sort of, in the federal, in AC year one, in the federal marketplace application, they actually do collect disaggregated API data. And it's very cool that they do that. But the problem is when they're releasing the public data on this, what they did was they actually re-aggregated it. So they took the Japanese, Chinese, all that information they had collected from the forms, and they put it back all together. And I hope that from my presentation you'll see that that's not really a good representation of this population, and maybe it's a sampling problem, maybe it's they didn't want to spend the time or effort to do it, But, you know, this is my pitch as a sort of takeaway from this presentation, I hope you do, is that help disaggregate this data. It's really important. You know, policy is driven by data, and not only policy, but kind of the way we think about Asians in general. If we don't disaggregate, we're going to constantly underserve the populations that need it specifically. So, you know, ask HHS to release disaggregated data, ask the state marketplace to release disaggregated. And also, I think within this room, you know, when you're doing research in this population, or maybe you, your coworker or your agency is doing it, think a little bit about the importance of disaggregating based on ethnicity and whether or not you can account for that in your research. So that's all the time I have. I'm willing to take questions, and thank you for your time.